to turn this morning to the book of John, chapter 14. Book of John, chapter 14. And also the book of Colossians, chapter 3. John, chapter 14. And Colossians, chapter 3. John 14, we'll read verse 1, and then we'll read verse 27. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we read, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. What we read there in John, of course, are the words of Jesus Christ to his apostles on the night of the Passover in an upper room. It would be on that night that Jesus would be arrested, taken into custody. Everything that transpired that evening is recorded in chapters 13 through chapter 18. The two verses we read, verse 1 and verse 27, very familiar verses, just part of what Jesus had to say to them, the apostles, on that evening. And what Jesus said to them that evening was a great source of strength, great source of comfort to them. And they are words that are very timely even today, and words, of course, that apply to God's people today. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, we see Jesus looking upon the apostles. He had given them a word of instruction. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And then he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He also gave them a word of encouragement. There in verse 27, he said, my peace I give unto you. And then he followed that up with the instruction, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then what Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, makes it very obvious that though Paul was not there the night that Jesus spoke what he spoke there in John chapter 14, though Paul was not there, he did know by practical and by personal experience what Jesus talked about on that Passover night. And it is our prayer today that we too, as God's people, would know by personal and practical experience what Jesus was speaking about there in John chapter 14. We want to speak this morning upon the subject of the peace of God in the heart. And we'll consider two main points. First of all, the words that Jesus spoke here in John chapter 14. And then the experience, the actual experience of what Jesus said in John chapter 14. First of all, let's go to John 14, consider the words that he spoke. We have to be familiar with the circumstances under which Jesus spoke. We see, going back to John chapter 13, the events that were transpiring that evening. And what we read here in John chapter 14 was spoken to the apostles, who for 3.5 years, at the call of Jesus, had left their jobs, they had left their homes, they had left their families, they left everything to follow Jesus Christ. And for 3.5 years, they had been with Jesus Christ personally. Life was good. Life was very good. Life was enjoyable. For 3.5 years, they had seen his miracles. They had seen him heal. They had seen him deliver individuals. They had personally witnessed him walking upon waters. They personally witnessed him calming the storm with just a word. They had seen him feed over 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. They had just witnessed the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. They had witnessed the people lining the streets, waving palm branches, and shouting Hosanna to the king. They had witnessed even the chief priest who had plotted with Jesus, crying out in despair, "What can we do? What can we do? The whole world is gone after him." So everything is looking great. We come to the upper room in John chapter 13, and Jesus knew exactly what the hours would bring. And what Jesus was about to tell the apostles would be like a bombshell. It would have a great effect. It really had a devastating effect upon them. He told them that he was leaving. Again, keep in mind that for 3.5 years they had followed him. They'd left everything to follow Jesus Christ. And now he tells them, "I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you cannot come." And then he proceeded to tell them, "Your leader, Peter, he's going to deny me this very night." This, of course, changed their entire mood. I believe as you begin with John chapter 13, you see the mood, I'm sure, was very good. But that suddenly changed when Jesus Christ said what he said. Now their whole world was changing. And it had become a time of difficulty, a very trying time for the apostles. Their hearts were broken. He's going away. We cannot go. They did not fully understand. Their confidence had been shattered. And they had been devastated by what Jesus said. And this is what precipitated what Jesus said in our text there in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus addresses the emotional state that the apostles were in at this time. Again, that evening, there's the apostles, they're with Jesus, they're in a special place. They're in a prepared place, the upper room. And no doubt there was joy, no doubt there was happiness, there was exultation, and these things just filled their hearts. But by the time we get to John chapter 14, all the joy is gone. All the happiness is gone. All the exultation is gone. They seem to be confused. There seems to be some agitation because let not your hearts be troubled. That very word implies agitation. So they were confused. There was agitation. There was alarm. There was fear. There was a great amount of anxiety. And the apostles were greatly distressed. All of this was causing an inward commotion within their hearts that was beginning to consume them and overshadow them and overpower them and just shattered their joy. And no doubt they are sitting there and they are thinking,
what is going to happen. For 3.5 years, we have been with Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, we have heard the greatest preacher of all time. For 3.5 years, he has taught us. We have left everything. And now he's going away. What is going to happen? What is going to happen to us? What are we going to do at this point? And again, you can just see how all of this fed the agitation, the distress, the confusion. And Jesus knew, of course, their agitation. He knew their confusion. He knew all about their alarm. He knew all about the fear. He knew all about their distress and their anxiety of heart. And that's when he looked at them and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Those were very timely words. Let not your heart be troubled. What he is saying is, stop. Stop allowing your heart to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. That is, do not permit. Do not allow your heart to be troubled over these things that I have told you. Again, at this time, the apostles were experiencing the worst kind of trouble that there is. They were experiencing the worst kind of distress that there is, the worst kind of agitation, the worst kind of commotion that there is, and that's a heart distress. This is something that was inward. They were experiencing these things in their heart, in their innermost being. There was great unrest. Troubles are real. Everywhere we turn, there are troubles. But heart trouble, I'm not talking about our physical heart. Heart trouble is different than all kinds of trouble. Because that is something that troubles every aspect of our being. It's something that begins to take over our lives. It's something that begins to rule and control our lives. When you have that kind of trouble, that's the kind of trouble that Jesus is talking about here. But we know that troubles and difficulties and tribulations and problems, they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. They can come at any time. But these things can come without our hearts being troubled. But once our hearts are troubled, now we're talking about something completely different. In fact, this life is a life of trouble. We're told this all through the Word of God. Job 5 and verse 7, we read that man is born unto trouble. We read the same thing in Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Man is born unto trouble. David spoke of the time of trouble in Psalm 27 and verse 5. In Psalm 31 and verse 9, he said, I am in trouble. And in Psalm 119, he talked about trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me. Now that's heart trouble. To be in trouble is one thing. To have trouble and anguish take hold of you, that's heart trouble. That's a trouble that has now engulfed your life. It is a trouble that is going to control your life. And that is what the apostles were experiencing that night, and that's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he said, we are troubled on every side. That is, no matter where we turn, there is trouble. And in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, he said, and you who are troubled, Didn't say you who are in trouble, but you who are troubled. That's heart trouble. This is a trouble that is going to overtake our lives. This is the worst kind of trouble. This is the worst kind of pain. This is the worst kind of unpleasantness, is to be troubled in our hearts. And I don't know if there's ever been a time when more of God's people are suffering from this kind of trouble. I mean, there's trouble everywhere. And we all have some experience of troublesome times. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, let not your heart be troubled. So Jesus addressed their emotional state when he said, let not your heart be troubled. He offered some instruction. He offered some encouragement. He said, believe. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. You believe in God. He goes, I want you to go further. And I want you to believe also in me. Now those words revealed the cure of this heart trouble. They also revealed the prevention of this heart trouble. If you're having this heart trouble, the cure is believe. You say it's not that easy. Jesus said it was. Believe. And if you're not having this heart trouble, the way to prevent it is to believe. This is what Jesus very, very plainly says. Now, we don't like that. Because if this is the cure and this is the prevention, then my heart trouble really is in my hands. We don't like that. We would rather blame it on something else. That's easier. But Jesus says, believe in me. So the first thing that Jesus did with these troubled disciples was he called their attention to himself. That is the very first thing he did. And that is the solution, or the beginning of the solution. He said, believe. He did not say, just forget about what I just told you. Deny what I told you. He did not say, deny and ignore the problem. Pretend it's not there. That's not the cure for heart trouble. Because deep down you know it is there. No matter how much you pretend it's not. You know it is. And no matter how hard you try to ignore it, you still know it's there. So that's not the answer. The answer is not ignore it. Nor did Jesus say this night, I can see that your heart is agitated and confused and that you're experiencing anxiety and distress. What I want you all to do tonight is I want you to go from here and just get away for a while. That's not what he said. Because I don't care how far you get away. If it's a real trouble, it's still there. It's still there. You can't get away from this trouble. No matter how hard you try. He said, believe. He said, I want you to believe in me. That is, let not your heart be troubled. Believe. That is, be persuaded. Believe in me. Be persuaded in me. Put your confidence, put your dependence in me. Put your trust in me. Have your assurance in me. You do not understand what I have told you. I'm going away. You don't really understand that. You don't understand the fact that you cannot come with me. You do not understand that Peter is going to deny me. You don't understand any of these things. Believe me, he says. That is, just be assured. Have assurance in me. He's saying, you do not understand, but lean upon me. What he is telling them is, you do not have to understand what I've told you. Just believe in me. Lean upon me. This is the cure, and this is the prevention. When he says, believe in me, he's saying, look unto me. Look at me. Keep your eyes upon me. He is saying, come unto me. Draw near unto me. Again, this is the answer. This is the way to have what Jesus talked about in verse 27. In verse 27, Jesus said, in verse 27, he said, my peace I leave with you. Now, that's one kind of peace. That's the peace that we have when we're saved. It is peace with God. Peace I leave with you. But then he says, my peace. My peace. That is the very kind of peace that I have. I give unto you. So there is that peace called my peace. The very peace of Jesus Christ. How do we get it? How do we obtain such a peace? Well, Jesus went on to say again, verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is, you do not have to be in this condition. Do not let it happen. Do not allow it. How do you prevent it from happening? Believe. Believe in me. Now, when Jesus speaks of a peace here in verse 27, he's talking about a tranquility. He's talking about a calm. He's talking about a restfulness, a quiet, that every child of God can have. He's talking about composure. He's talking about contentment. And it's all available. Because he said, my peace I give unto you. So this tranquility, this quiet, this composure, this contentment, it's available. Jesus said, I give it to you. In other words, you can have it. But how do we get it? Believe. That's what he says. Believe. You say, well, I believe, and I still don't have it. Well, then you really don't believe like Jesus was talking about. You say, oh, I do. Well, was Jesus lying? He said, if you believe, let not your heart be troubled. Believe. That is, instead of letting it be troubled, believe. Oh, we think we believe. And we think we're trusting. But many times when we think we're doing that, we're really not. We think we're leaning upon Him, but we're really not. Because if we were, we wouldn't have this trouble that Jesus is talking about. He says, my peace. That is, not only is it the kind of peace that Jesus had, he's the source of it. He's the source of this peace. So Jesus says twice in verse 27, he speaks twice of peace. There in verse 27. And it's a personal peace. That is, it is the very peace that filled the heart of Jesus during his earthly ministry. And Jesus says, I give it to you. He didn't say, I will. You can have this in eternity. He's talking about right then and there. Right in the very midst of all their agitation, in the very midst of all their trouble and anguish, Jesus said, my peace is available to you. He didn't say you have to wait till the storm is over before you can have it. Any lost person can do that. He says this peace is available right now. Right in the very midst of your distress and anguish, my peace. The very kind of peace that dwells in my heart is available. And I give it unto you. And I believe the peace that filled the heart of Jesus was the result of his unbroken communion with God the Father. Christ had no gloom for the past. None. He had no gloom or forebodings for the future. He was always at perfect peace. You say, well, he was God. Yes, he was. But see, this is what's wonderful. He says, my peace I give unto you. That is, you can have the very same peace. I give it unto you. Jesus, this peace that he had, Jesus stood strong. No matter what was happening, Jesus stood strong. Jesus stood calm amid all the troubles of this world. He was a rock. He was a rock unmoved. You say, well, that's because he was God. That's part of it, no doubt. But also is because of this peace that he had. The peace of Christ is what the apostles needed this night. They needed it. They needed the very peace of Jesus Christ. They needed more than just a pep talk. You know, you can have heart trouble, spiritually speaking. Someone can give you a pep talk and you feel good. It might last for 10 minutes. It might even last a day. But it's not going to last long. But this peace, this is something that will carry you through. My peace I give unto you. And this is what they needed. This is what they needed at this time. This is what I need. This is what you need. This is what we all need. The peace of Jesus Christ. And then again he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What he's saying is, my peace I give unto you, it's available. In other words, you do not have to have a troubled heart tonight, he is saying to them. You and I do not have to have a troubled heart today. We don't have to have our hearts filled with agitation. We don't have to have our hearts filled with confusion. We don't have to have our hearts controlled by fear and controlled by distress. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. So we don't. It doesn't have to be the way it so often is. So Jesus makes it plain on this particular night that his peace was available. And I believe that very same peace is available today. You say, oh, when once this is over, whatever it might be, then we can, life can be what it once was. What we need to understand is life can be what it ought to be no matter what. My peace I give unto you. Now if we go over to Colossians chapter 3, we see the personal experience of what Jesus said there in John 14. Paul referred to the peace of Christ as the peace of God. He says, let, there it is again, that word let. Let not your heart be troubled. Let, allow, permit, the peace of God. What is the peace of God? Well, Well, the peace of God is what Jesus said is my peace. So the very peace of God is available to you and I. It's our privilege to have it. It's our opportunity to have it. If you today can go back to a time in your life when you saw yourself as a guilty and depraved, filthy sinner before God, deserving the wrath of God, and you turned from your sins and you placed your trust in Jesus Christ. If you can go back to that, and you know that that day you were saved, if you have that, then what Jesus called my peace, what Paul called the peace of God, that's available to you today. That's available to you today. You can have it. You can have it right now. My peace I give unto you. Now there are, if we think about it, there are enough personal rejections, personal defeats, personal failures, personal setbacks in life that would create negative feelings in any one of us and even destroy us. There's enough of those things to create those feelings in us. There's enough of those things to create you and I feeling sorry for ourselves. And if you look at all of those things, you can get to feeling pretty bad. And we all have them. We've all been personally rejected. We've all personally failed. We've all had personal setbacks in our lives. We all have personal burdens. And any one of those things is enough to cause us to have negative feelings and a bad spirit and a bad attitude. But it doesn't have to. Because Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe." That is, there is a peace that I give, and you can have it. And Jesus said there in John 14, verse 27, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." So there is a peace that the world gives. It's very short-lived. But this is a peace. The peace of Jesus Christ is a peace that is the opposite of fear. It's the opposite of confusion, agitation. This peace is rest. It's a state of fearlessness. It's a state of security. By nature. And we're going to see this, and I've already seen it. We've already seen it. It can be the economy, it can be personal finances, it can be church finances, it doesn't matter. When there's financial problems, people begin to think funny. They really do. And people begin to get nervous, and people begin to get edgy. Because that's where their security is. And you take away somebody's security, guess what? There's going to be fear. There's going to be agitation. We're going to see a lot of that here in the future. Not only amongst lost men, but amongst God's people. But Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. My peace I give unto you. And that's a sense of security. That's the greatest security that there is. Security that is in Christ. So this is security. This is contentment. This is confidence. The peace of Jesus Christ is confidence that all is well. It is a knowledge that all is well. The whole world may be falling apart, but I know all is well. That's peace. Everywhere you turn, it may be all in shambles. It may be all in ruins. But the peace of God says, I know it's well. It's peace. Now the world says, well, that's an idiot. Many of God's people say, well, there's a fool. He can't even see what's right in front of him. No, don't you understand? He has something inside of him that causes him to look beyond what everybody else sees. This is what Jesus calls my peace. It is an assurance. It is an assurance again that all is well. It is a state of harmony. It's a state of enjoyment. When there is peace, whether it be peace in a family, whether it be peace between individuals, whether it be peace in a church, there's enjoyment in peace. But then you take when Jesus says, my peace, the very peace of Jesus Christ, there is no greater enjoyment than possessing the very peace Jesus Christ. And I believe that is an everyday possibility for every child of God to have this peace of Jesus, to have the very peace of God. It is a peace that will raise you above difficulties. It won't take the difficulties away, but it can raise you above the difficulties. It can raise you above the trials. It can raise you above the tribulations. It can raise you above the storms. It can raise you above all the obstacles. My peace. And Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. We need to hear Jesus say every day, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to hear Jesus Christ saying that to us each day. And it is that which allows us to rise above anxiety. We all have anxiety of some sort. We all have fears. We all have some confusion. We all have some agitation. These things are everywhere present in the world in which we live. But what we need to understand is there's something available that'll help us. My peace I give unto you. My peace, says Jesus, that's an inward strength that the world knows nothing about. The world doesn't know a thing about it. It's no different than a lost person if the only time you can have this inward strength is when everything is going well and you're just as happy and things couldn't be better and you're strong. Well, any lost sinner can do that. But this is an inward strength that when the whole world's falling apart, you're strong. Doesn't mean you don't have emotion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an inward strength. And even though we don't know what's going to happen next, and even though the bottom might fall out, that inward strength is still there. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. We see also that this peace is the responsibility of you and I. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That implies it's our responsibility. Jesus gives it, but it's our responsibility to receive it. The very word let tells us that. means to permit. He goes on, and he tells us the extent, Paul does, to which we are to have this peace. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To rule is to guide. That is, let the peace of God guide your hearts. The truth is, today, something is guiding our hearts. It can be a problem. It could be a trouble. It could be a difficulty. It could be anything. It could be a joy. But Paul says, let the peace of God, let this inward strength guide your heart. Means to determine conduct. If it rules, then it determines our conduct. And the peace of God in the heart will determine your conduct. It will determine how you react and how you act. Just like if trouble rules in your heart, that's what will determine how you react. So there are many things that the people of God have allowed to set up rule in their hearts. But there is a peace. There is a peace available. And it is our nature. When a problem arises, when a difficulty arises, when a burden arises, whatever. It is our nature. We are inclined to allow that thing to rule our life. And that's what was happening to the apostles that night. And that's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Do not allow this to happen. So in closing, you and I, of course, do not know what lies ahead for any of us. We have no idea. And that's a good thing. We live in times of great turmoil. And that's only going to increase. We live in times of great stress, and that too is only going to increase. Live in times of great confusion and upheaval and unrest, and chaos and uncertainty. And all of those things only increase in the world in which we live. But you and I, as children of God, we can live above all of those things. And there's the one way that we can live above those things is to have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. We've all seen it. You've seen somebody get the news that they have X amount of time to live. Get your things in order. You're going to die soon. And people have great calm, and great peace. That's the peace of Christ. My peace I give unto you. It's something, what I want us to realize today is it's something that is available to you and I as God's people. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 7 that he's describing this peace, and he said, simply says, it passeth all understanding. That is, you can't even explain it. You can't understand it. When you have it, again, everything could be falling apart, but you just feel it's okay. Everything's okay. And you can't even explain it. You try to explain that to a lost person, they're not going to understand. I mean, you can't even really, truly, fully explain it. What a wonderful thing. The peace of Christ. I have experienced the peace of Christ ruling in my heart, and I have experienced and do experience trouble and distress and agitation ruling in my heart also. And I know the difference. And what a difference it makes in a day. I can have agitation rule in my heart for a day, and guess what? I'm not too happy that day. And things don't go right. And I usually don't do right, and I don't think right, and I don't say the right things. Then there's other days the peace of God rules in your heart. How much easier. It's just so much easier to live that way. My life's easier when the peace of God is ruling, rather than some trouble or some problem or some agitation. And these problems and troubles, they come all the time. They come from us at all directions. We just have to hear Jesus say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. Believe. And do not allow these things to take up a throne in our hearts." So you can have this peace today. More importantly, if you're here and lost, you're at enmity with God right now. You're at enmity with God. But Jesus, because of what Jesus Christ has done, you can have peace with God today. And there is nothing more important in your life. You do not want to leave this life being at enmity with God. You don't want that to happen. That's the worst thing that can happen to any human being. But you can have peace with God today. But it's only through Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's the same way. Believe. Believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that it was for you. Believe that today. And you can have peace with God. Brother Larry.